This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. In Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the shortcomings of Bani Israel when they were given the obligation of istikhlaf. See, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a few examples. He tells us about the first khalif, about Adam. Then he tells us about those who were given the same obligation but didn't do a very good job with it, Banu Israel. And then he gives us the example of those who perfected it, like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub. That's basically the first juz of Al-Baqarah. And the longest piece of it is the piece where he talks subhanahu wa ta'ala about all the problems Banu Israel ran into, not so that we can hold them to it and point it out for them, and so that we don't make the same mistakes because we are next in line, because we were given the same obligation after them. And one of the things he points out to them subhanahu wa ta'ala is the verse that I recited upon you. He told them, and then after that, after all that I gave you. See, this ayah came after a long chapter within the surah where he talks subhanahu wa ta'ala about what he did for Bani Israel, the number of times he bailed them out and saved them and showed them miracles and showed them things that they would have never imagined to see. He tells them, and then after all of that, qasat qulubukum, your hearts hardened and they became like rock. And even rock, even there are some rocks that will explode and water will come gushing through them. Some rock, you will find rivers running amongst them. Some rocks will fall and crumble out of the reverence of Allah, the Almighty himself. And yet some of our hearts, or some of their hearts, were harder than rock. I went throughout this, throughout this summer through a series of contemporary issues, and I addressed a number of topics. Granted that 50% of the topics were based one way or the other on sexuality. It was either talking about relationships, talking about navigating differences, talking about marriage and how to maintain, how to approach, and how to... So, and to be honest, within the time that we're living, I think it's a pretty fair representation of the problems that we struggle with. I think 50% of our problems as an ummah fall under that category. We've lost a little bit of the compass of how it is that we're supposed to carry ourselves regarding these issues, which is why it took maybe half of the series. But I also talked about a number of other stuff. I talked about climate change. We talked about digital addictions and other things. Today, I'm going to offer this final khutbah within the series, and next week we'll start something new. As this is technically we're in the first part of fall, so summer's over. But I'm going to conclude this series today, and I'm going to talk about. And obviously, I haven't covered all of the contemporary issues, so don't feel like, oh, you only talked about this stuff. What about, there's a lot of other contemporary issues that are worthy of being addressed on the minbar, but these are the topics that I chose for this series. Today, I'm going to address the contemporary issue of spiritual drought. Spiritual drought, or the hardening of the heart. As something that the ummah did not have in the early generations. As Muslims, this is something that we didn't necessarily struggle with that much. But today, we for sure do. We for sure struggle with spiritual emptiness, with this dryness that we feel on the inside. The human race has always tried to find a way to fill that gap. Because what we found out as human beings is that no matter how much materialistic possessions you have, no matter how rich you are materialistically and how many places you visit and how much control and power you have, that there's something on the inside. There's something on the inside. If it's empty, then you just cannot find fulfillment and you cannot find true happiness. The human race, almost all across cultures and religions, agree to a certain aspect of what I just said. And have found different ways to achieve spiritual highs, if I may use that term. They've looked for different ways. That's why you'll find different practices in different cultures. Certain things people are doing and you're wondering, what is this? Why are they doing that? Because they feel this drought on the inside and they just want to find something to keep it alive. And quite honestly, if you don't feel that at all, that's even a bigger problem. I mean, if you are experiencing that spiritual drought where your ruh, your nafs, has nothing to be excited about, there's no connection with a bigger picture or something that's beyond you, or a purpose that transcends your own existence. Without, if you don't feel that that's, there's something missing regarding that, then that's, I don't even know where to start there. I don't even know where to start. Imam al-Ghazali says something really cool. He said, look for your heart in the Quran. Look for your heart within the Quran, I mean, when you're reading the Quran. And if you don't find your heart within the Quran, then you don't have a heart. So sob for the reason that you don't have one. Be upset and find your spiritual high by knowing that you don't have a heart to begin with. And I'm not here to chastise. I do want to point out that this issue is contemporary. It wasn't always like that. As Muslims, we found something. The Muslims found something in what the Prophet ﷺ brought. This spiritual fulfillment that just made them not care about anything else. They just stopped caring. You know what Darani says? I love this quote. قَالَ إِنَّ أَهْلَ اللَّيْلِ لَيَجِدُونَ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ مَا هُوَ أَلَذْ مِمَّا يَجِدُهُ أَهْلُ اللَّهُ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَعَيْشٌ طَيِّبٌ. He said, indeed, the people of the night, the people who pray during the night, are in a state of such happiness and fulfillment. It exceeds whatever those who are partying or doing whatever else they're doing find within their settings. And indeed, if the joy that the people of the night find within their relationship with Allah is what Ahl al-Jannah are finding in Jannah, then they're happy. Then Ahl al-Jannah must be very, very happy. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحْ, listen to these two verses in Surah Az-Zumar. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثاني تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد. He says, what about the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens their hearts and their minds to Islam, and they find themselves in a state of enlightenment from their Lord? Indeed, severe warning to those who allow their hearts to harden when they are reminded of their Lord. Indeed, those are the ones who are in a state of complete loss. Allah is the one who descended the best of speech, a book that supports itself, meaning it's not contradicting itself. Mutashabihan, meaning no part of it is contradicting another part of it. Mathani, one paragraph after the other, meaning it follows one, it has a sequence to it. It's not just a mush of verses or words. Sequenced, paragraphed, value-based. The skins of those who listen to it will have goosebumps. ثُمَّ تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودٌ. That's the wording in the Qur'an. They feel, which is what the spiritual high that I'm trying to talk to you about is. They find it when they hear it. And after they hear it, their hearts and their skins become fully submissive to the will of their Lord. That is what the ayah says. That is the guidance of Allah. He guides to that whomever He wishes. And those who are misguided from that will find no guidance elsewhere. 4 years after the beginning of the Ba'atha, or the Ba'atha of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the beginning of his prophecy, this is still in Mecca, Surah Al-Hadid would be revealed. Ibn Mas'ud tells us that when this verse was recited upon them, they would go amongst each other and they would speak and ask themselves, what did we do? What did you do? Who's responsible for this ayah? Who is the one? Everyone was, but they felt so ashamed of it and embarrassed and upset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say something to them like that. Where He would say, Jalla Jalaluhu, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. اعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. He says, has the time not come for those who believe to find within their hearts the connection with their Lord when they hear his remembrance being recited upon them and when they hear the truth that he gave them? Or do they want to be like those who came before them, were given the book, allowed time to pass, let this whole topic go, and their hearts turned hard? And then they all, most of them went, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. That's the consequence. That's the consequence. You go astray. You lose focus. You can't walk the path anymore. You can't. It's almost impossible. So if, as a Muslim, and I'm saying this because if you've been a Muslim most of your life, and you don't find that inside, you don't find that joy, there's no joy. You hear the Quran, you don't find any joy. You hear someone talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the Quran, and you don't find that joy inside of you. You're not getting those goosebumps anymore. You're not feeling that spiritual high where you're in a state of just bliss, where nothing else really matters to you. At least acknowledge that that's a problem. That's all I'm saying. Just acknowledge that that is not normal. That's all. And if you do that, then you can start taking some steps forward. You know the hadith in the collection of Imam Tirmidhi? It's called Hadith Hanzala. Hanzala ibn Rabi'ah. He's one of the Sahaba who wrote the Wahi. Really nice. I love this hadith because he is very spontaneous, is very genuine. He just says what he feels. You need people like that every once in a while. You need people who just say what they're thinking without the filters. So one day, he was walking down the street and he was really upset. Head down. Abu Bakr is coming from the other side. He knows him well. So he sees him. Hey, Hanzala, how are you doing? So he looks at him and he says, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala is munafiq. That's how Hanzala is doing. You're asking how Hanzala is doing? Hanzala has become munafiq. So Abu Bakr, قال, ما تقول يا Hanzala? What are you saying? فقال, this is what he said. قال نكون عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم فيحدثنا فكأننا رأي العين نرى الجنة والنار. We're sitting with him. He speaks to us. It's like we can see Jannah and Nar with our own eyes as he speaks to us. ثم نخرج فنعافس الأولاد والأزواج والبهائم. We leave and then we go and it's our wives and our children and our barn animals and our houses and this person screaming and that thing got broken and it's a whole, it's chaotic and you are completely encompassed by your life and your, it's just, I don't like it. A second ago, I was in a state of complete, I didn't care about anything, and now I don't even remember. So I'm munafiq. Obviously, I'm munafiq. There's no other explanation aside from I am munafiq because I'm with the Prophet one way, and then I go home, and I'm completely. Abu Bakr smiled. He didn't want to answer him himself. He didn't want to. He said, let's go to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask him, because it would be nice. And jazallah khair, and that's very nice that he did that. So he went to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, without any coaching, just asked Hanzala, how are you doing, Hanzala? So he told him the same thing. نافق Hanzala يا رسول الله. فتبسم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. He smiled. Tell me why. So he told him the same thing. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لو تكونون في بيوتكم كما تكونون عندي لصفحتكم الملائكة في الطرقات ولكن يا Hanzala ساعة وساعة. If you were to be at home as you are with me, then you wouldn't be human anymore. You would be one of the ملائكة. The Malaika would give salam to you. You'd be at a level that's not human anymore. It's normal, يا Hanzala, ساعة وساعة. It's not an hour for ma'asi and an hour for good deeds. No, this hadith is saying it's an hour where you have a level of spiritual fulfillment where nothing else matters, and then an hour where you actually go and you do the work. Because that spiritual fulfillment is there for a reason. It's there to fuel you to do the work. You can't walk this path without it. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible to make it to the end, to the finishing line without that peace. It's just not, I don't understand it. I don't. I can't comprehend a Muslim who has complete spiritual dryness on the inside. How they expect to walk this path for 60 or 70 years? It's impossible. There's no ruh, there's no spirit. When we talk about sports, we can't do that. If you have a team that you like and you look at them, you say, there's no spirit in this team. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know what you mean. There's something missing. Yes, they're wearing the jerseys. Huh? They have the shoes on. They know how to kick the ball. They're standing in line. They showed up on time. But there's something missing. And without that thing, they're not going to achieve anything. They're not going to win any championships. They're not going to even get the support of their own fans anymore. Even though maybe their stats aren't that bad, because there's something missing. There's a spirit. And that's what this deen is about. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith in collection of Imam al-Hakim, al-Mustadrak, bi sanad Hassan. قال إن أبعد الناس من الله القلب القاسي. The farthest person away from God is the hardened heart. as the farthest person away from Allah. إخواني وأخواتي هذه آخر خطبة أخطبها في سلسلة القضايا المعاصرة التي ابتدأتها أول الصيف. أختمها إن شاء الله اليوم ونبدأ سلسلة جديدة الأسبوع القادم بإذن الله تعالى. والحديث عن الخواء الروحي وعن قسوة القلب. ونعم أراها قضية معاصرة، لأنني حتى في طفولتي نشأت على خلاف ما أراه اليوم. حتى في طفولتي كنت أرى المسلمين في حال من حب الله سبحانه وتعالى ومن حب دينهم ومن الامتلاء الروحي ومن القرب من الله سبحانه وتعالى ما أراه قد خلينا يعني قد خلونا منه اليوم. لم أعد أرى ولم أعد أشعر بذلك الروح الذي كان بين المسلمين، ولا أستطيع أن أفهم كيف يستطيع المسلم أن يتخيل أن يبقى ثابتا على منهج ربه سائرا على خطى نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وروحه قد خوت من هذا الحب، وروحه ليس فيها ما كان في قلوب الصحابة من قبل. يا أخواني كان في شيء مختلف، كان في لذة. اقرأ حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عن قيامه الليل، لما تقرأها تقف يعني تقف عاجزا أمام بعض هذه القصص. لا يستطيع إنسان أن يقوم بما قام به صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلا أن يكون في حالة من اللذة، إلا أن يكون في حال من السعادة البالغة. كيف يقف في حديث حذيفة وقف وحديث ابن مسعود لما وقف النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وخلوا به عليه الصلاة والسلام واستمعا إليه، فإذا هو يقرأ البقرة فقالوا 100 آية ثم يركع فأتمها، فقالوا إذن يعني يقرأ يتمها ويركع فافتتح النساء فقال 100 ثم يركع فتجاوز 100 فقال يتمها ويركع فأتمها، ثم ابتدأ آل عمران فقالوا إذن يقرأ 100 ويركع فقرأ 6 أجزاء في ركعة. أي شاذة يقرأ الإنسان هذه القصص يقول أي كلام هذا؟ بعض الناس يشككون في الحديث. شوف من شدة الخواء الروحي الذي نحن فيه نشكك في حديث صحيح. لا إن شاء الله يكون نحن يعني فاضين من جوا، لا 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 نحن نكون فاضين مستحيل، أكيد الحديث غلط. لا يا عمي الحديث مش غلط، الحديث مش غلط، نحن الذين قد خوت قلوبنا وقست قلوبنا. نحن هذا ما قاله الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه: قست قلوبكم كالحجارة تصبح. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، الجبل يتصدع من خشية الله والقلوب لا تتصدع. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين، استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. So the reason I'm talking about this is that it's an important change that needs to occur within our ummah. The youth will not fully embrace this deen without it. The reason that you enjoy Ramadan is because it gives you just a whiff of it. The reason Ramadan is so special to most of us, the reason that we continue to have this nice memory of it, even though we're starving for most of the day and it's tiring and we worry about it before it happens, but there's this nice memory that we all carry about Ramadan, is because it gives you a little bit of a whiff of that spiritual high. It's beautiful. Your spirit is a little bit fulfilled. You're closer to Allah subhanahu. You feel purpose. You're enjoying that. And honestly, life without that is almost not worth living. And with it, you're not missing anything. Like if you have that in your life, there's nothing really that you're missing out on. You don't need anything else. People who have that have everything they need. There's a known quote, and this quote is affiliated with at least 6 different scholars, meaning depending on which book you read, the quote will be referred or cited by someone different. It doesn't really matter to me who said it. It's the quote itself that I think is really just beautiful. They say Ibn Taymiyyah said it, but I don't know for sure. But I don't know. It's unclear. That when he was in jail, what he quoted, he was saying to saying to himself, and the guard heard him. قَالَ أَنَا جَنَّتِي وَبُسْتَانِي فِي صَدْرِي مَاذَا يَصْنَعُ بِأَعْدَائِي. What can my enemies do to me? My garden in heaven inside my chest. in سجني خلوة. If you put me in jail, then I'm on my own with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I guess I don't have distraction. I don't have to think about anything. I'm in a خلوة with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وإخراجي من بلدي سياح. If you kick me out of my country, then I'm a tourist on the outside. I can see the Allah's world. وقتلي شهادة. And if you kill me, then I'm a martyr. There's nothing you can do to me. My fulfillment is from within. That's what he's saying in this quote. My fulfillment is from within. And that's really what Islam has offered the Sahaba and offered those who followed it. That's really what it did. And people found that and people experienced that for a very long time. And I think we just entered a different era with a lot more materialistic aspects to it. I'm not here to curse out capitalism or talk about Western ideology or how the Industrial Revolution. No, that's not really what. But to a certain degree, we've lost our attachment to understanding what our spirits are. Your spirit needs nourishment, just like your body does. Just like if you were to stay without food for a week, you would slowly come close to dying. You wouldn't be able to survive for too long without physical nourishment. Why is it that we think without spiritual nourishment we can survive? Why is it that we think that if we leave our spirits empty on the inside, with no connection, with no love, I'm so sorry, with no love, this deen is built on love. It's built in its essence on love. Everything about it is love. There's nothing more to it than that, really. It's all about, do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you understand that He loves you? And do you love Him back? And do you love whom He loves? Do you love His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Do you love that book? Do you love the deen? Do you love the people who follow Him? Do you love His creation because of the potential of them being close to Him? It's all about love at the end. And if you pull love out of it, if you just pull it out, then I don't know what's left of it. It's a mutated ideology that I don't understand. And I don't know how to preach. And I don't know how to teach. And I definitely don't know how to practice. And I don't know how to evaluate whether people are practicing it correctly either. Because there's something essential that's missing from it. And that's not hard to bring back again. We just have to start asking for it and looking for it. And trying to connect to it. And making sure that it has some degree of priority within our lives. And the examples here are endless. I can talk about this for as long as you like. Give you story after story from the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, the Ulama, because this is what they experienced. They found joy. They found joy when they were close to Allah. So they found joy. You read the stories and you see that they function a little bit differently because you can only do things that you don't want to do for so long. And at some point, you can't anymore. So either you stop doing them, or you do them in a way where there's no essence to them. And you're saying what I'm saying? When you pray, you can only force yourself to pray for so long before either you stop doing it, or you start praying with no essence to the prayer at all. It's just a mechanical movement that you need to get through. Because we can't comprehend doing something we hate for so long. But it's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be something that you do where you find a certain degree of spiritual fulfillment. أختم لكم إخواني هذه الخطبة. سامحوني على الإطالة. يقول الحلاج إلى كم أنت في بحر الخطايا تبارز من يراك ولا تراه وأنت ذو سمت تقي وفعلك فعل متبع هواه فيا من بات يخلو بالمعاصي وعين الله شاهدة تراه أتطلب أترجو أو تطمع أن تنال العفو ممن عصيت وأنت لم تطلب رضاه فتب قبل الممات وقبل يوم يلاقي العبد ما كسبت يداه أتفرح بالذنوب وبالخطايا وتنساه ولا أحد سواه. I hope that was a benefit to you. واعلموا أن الله أمرنا بأمر عظيم فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء خلافة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين، وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن صحابته الغر الميامين، وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين، ونفس كروب المكروبين، وارفع الغم عن المغمومين، وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين، واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى، ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين، وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا، وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا، طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Before we go for salah, inshallah the halaqat this weekend are all back on, so tonight inshallah and tomorrow and the day after we'll be back after Maghrib. Tomorrow inshallah we will restart the seerah halaqa after Maghrib. It's our, I'm not going to say it's our final run because I've said the final run 3 times already. So it's another run. So you're welcome to show up inshallah and attend it. And it's something that inshallah children in younger ages will definitely benefit from and enjoy. So please, you know, show up for that. The IDA, the Imam Development Academy, alhamdulillah, has been running now for a year. This is our fourth semester. We have nine live courses that are running and 3 online courses that are available. This is something, the idea here is parallel learning. So if you are someone, if you have children who are in high school, mature children in high school, someone in university who wants to learn Islam in parallel to what they're doing in their lives, this is something that I would encourage you to show up and attend, take the course and learn and be a part of the talab ilm that we're trying to encourage in this masjid. Jazakumullah khair. Aqim as-salah.